Good morning. I'm Jeremy Africa. I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And whether you're in worship joining us on the church's live stream or you're here in the church's sanctuary, very glad to have our time together here in worship on this day. As we begin, we want to highlight a few announcements of what's happening in the church that you might connect with the church's mission of helping others and helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. To begin with, I'm going to invite forward Kayla Williams and Brad Wagoner. Kayla will be introducing our newest staff member. Kayla serves as the vice chair of our Strategic Leadership Council. Kayla and Brad.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the Strategic Leadership Council, it is my pleasure to introduce our new Director of Family Ministries, Brad Wagoner. Brad brings... So Brad brings 15 years of experience in children's and family ministry. He also has some additional experience in social work and foster care, which still shapes how he walks alongside kids and families today. He recently moved to Midland from Indiana and brought along with him his dog, Macy. Brad, on behalf of the congregation, we warmly welcome you to our Midland First United Methodist Church family, and we are very grateful and excited for your ministry with us.
Thank you.
If you have some free time this afternoon from about 2 to 4 p.m., we are planning to have a welcome reception poolside, weather dependent. We're optimistic. Right now it looks pretty good. To welcome Brad as well as some of our other staff who's recently joined our church. So highly encourage and welcome you all to join us and welcome Brad one more time this afternoon.
Brad, I hope you're mindful that I think when I was introduced, the congregation waited a little longer to hear a little bit more of my backstory and what I brought before welcoming with applause. So glad to welcome you. And I just want to take a moment to thank you as a congregation. I know that we have done a lot of work, a lot of extra effort this summer to welcome not only Brad, but also to welcome the newly appointed pastors here at Midland First, Brian Kilpatrick as our associate pastor of discipleship, along with Reverends Lisa and Mike Kelly as our associate pastors of member care. And it takes a great deal of effort and a great deal of intentionality of extending a welcome and wanting to support new staff, new clergy in their ministries here. And you have done that well as a congregation. You have done that generously. You have done that generously both in giving of your time and of your efforts and sometimes also of gifts. And this is all in an effort to, yes, welcome people, but also support the ministries of this church. So thank you for doing that work as a congregation. Thank you to our teams and our Strategic Leadership Council that have also spearheaded that effort. So I thank you for doing that among us. Next, I'm going to turn things over to Reverend Brian Kilpatrick, who serves as our Associate Pastor of Discipleship. Pastor Brian.
Good morning, church. You guys look so happy today. That makes me happy. So just so you are all aware, next Sunday is going to be a day of prayer. Now, what that looks like is that we are going to have some stations set up over in P3, over in the Sunday school wing over there. It's all been set up by the prayer team. And those stations are going to be open from 9 to noon. Now, you might be saying to yourself, 9 to noon, that could be a pretty easy way to get around coming to the service. No. That is not how that is going to work. Because from 9 to 10, that P3 will be open for adults who want to go in and check everything out. And then you will be politely and promptly removed from the room so you can come to church. And during the service, the kids are going to be going as part of Sunday school, and they're going to be checking out those prayer stations as well. When you go, you're going to see some different alternative methods to prayer, as well as I believe you're going to potentially receive a gift when you get through all of them. So look for that. And then at the end of the service, that room will be open open again from 11 to noon. I'm personally looking forward to it, and I hope everybody else is looking forward to it as well. Please come and check it out. The prayer team has been working very hard on this, and I know they would appreciate it. So thank you in advance, everybody.
All right, children, that's right. We are talking about the beginning of school, which I pray.
I see some of the parents lifting hands in hallelujah. But it is the beginning of that time. We want to mark that time in a special way and bless our students, bless our teachers, church, us, school staff, and administrators in that special moment in our worship time this coming Sunday. As Kayla mentioned, we do have our meet and greet at 2 o'clock where we're welcoming all of our church's newly appointed clergy and Brad Wagner as our Director of Family Ministries. Currently, the plan is to have that time outside in the pool area. But if you show up at 2 o'clock and nobody's there, don't fret. We've just simply pivoted to downstairs in the fellowship hall because of weather. So please look for us in either of those spaces. Go home after church, grab lunch, put on casual clothes, and then come back to welcome our new pastors and Brad, and also to enjoy that time together as a church. Hope to see you later today. With all that, I'm going to point you to our e-blasts that are sent out every week from the church's office. If you aren't yet receiving those, encourage you to contact the church office, and we'll be happy to add you to that weekly newsletter that you might keep up with all else that is happening.
Good morning. Would you please join in the call to worship? Though we come from different circumstances,
Lord, make us one in worship.
Though we have traveled different paths of struggles and successes,
Lord, make us one in healing.
Though each one of us has struggles and strife, as well as joy,
Lord, make us one in hope.
I invite you to remain standing as you are able and to join us in our opening hymn, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. You'll find this on page 57 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you. This morning, we are singing verses 1, 3, 6, and 7.
Good morning. How is everyone doing this morning? Hi. So happy to see you. What do you have in your hand? Are you starting school? You're going to help the teacher? You are? Your hair looks cute this morning. Hi, everybody. How's it going?
Good.
So, how has this last week been?
Good.
Yeah? Are you ready? One more week?
Mm-hmm.
Who's ready? You ready? Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Okay, so this morning we're going to continue our study of Blessed are the Meek, for they shall inherit the earth, of our Beatitude. And this is from 1 Samuel chapter 3. And do you remember our Bible verse? We're kind of doing it 2 weeks in a row. Do you remember what it was? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So we're going to explore some more about that today. Well, how would you guys feel if all of a sudden you heard your name being called? All of a sudden you heard, hey, Melinda, Melinda. Wouldn't it make you wonder? Wouldn't it make you listen if you heard your name? Are you guys going to listen when school starts, I wonder? I hope you do. You have a new teacher, right? Okay.
Sometimes I hear my mom call my name and I'm like, what, mom? She's like, I never said your name.
Oh, so sometimes you hear your mom call your name and then you're wondering, okay, and that you never said her name, but yet she knows. She has like a sixth sense and knows that you're trying to reach her, you think? One wonders, huh? All right, let's do a prayer, quick prayer before we head off to Sunday school. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us the Beatitudes this summer. We want to ask for the many blessings for all of the projects that we worked on, from the school bags, the home kits, the personal kits, that whoever those are going to, Lord, that you will bless every person and help every person to know your name, Jesus Christ. We ask you to help us to be kind, merciful, and peacemakers every day. Fill our hearts with your love so we can share it with others. And we ask you just, Lord, that you will be with those in this community as school starts, for those in need, as children go back to school. May you bless them. Some are in more need than others. May they find the school supplies they need at the free giveaways in our community, that we may reach out and nourish those who need nourishing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's go to Sunday school.
Thanks, guys. So the theme for our service today is a faith that changes everything. And as we prepare to hear the word preached by Jeremy in a little bit, I invite us all to take a moment to think about all of the ways that our faith can impact not only our lives, but the lives of those around us. We do that through our volunteer opportunities, through our times of service, our missions, our ministries, and also through the tithes and the offerings that you all bring bring every Sunday to this place. As we prepare to give thanks to God by collecting those tithes and offerings, I want to remind you that the ushers are going to be coming down and they're going to be bringing those plates around. Feel free to go ahead and put your offerings in those as we continue to give our thanks to God. Ushers, you may come forward when ready. God of life and love, you are the source of all that is good in this life and in all of creation, and we continue to give you thanks for that on this day. We also return to you this morning these tithes and these offerings, both in the form of money and ourselves, that you might once again send them and us out into this community, the surrounding communities, and throughout the world, to be a blessing in the lives of others as you continue to bless us. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, gentlemen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28, and this is from the New Living Translation. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to join him, pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She's bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshiped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take the food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
For the sermon this morning, I want to take a few moments for some introductions and to help us appreciate our connection as a United Methodist Church. This morning in worship with us here at Midland First is Reverend Luann Rourke and her husband, Pat. Reverend Luann Rourke serves as our clergy assistant to the bishop. I've had opportunity to serve in communities alongside Luann, and also she has served as a district superintendent with our annual conference, and now assisting the bishop in providing leadership to our annual conference. So it's glad to welcome you to worship this morning, Reverend Rourke and Pat. Good to have you in worship with us. And also want to connect a few more dots for you. Also in worship with us today are Reverend Dr. Sherry Parker and Reverend George Lewis. And to help you appreciate again the connections, in addition to being a trusted voice in my ear as a fellow clergy person here on an annual conference, Reverend Dr. Sherry Parker served as the lead pastor at Brighton First United Methodist Church, while our associate pastor, Brian Kilpatrick, was discerning, discerning his call to ministry. And so it's a reminder to us as a United Methodist Church today, as we worship together, how connected we are and how God's grace works in our lives, not just in moments, singular moments, but weaving our lives together as a church to bring the light of Jesus Christ into the world. And so welcome to you as well, Reverend Dr. Sherry Parker and Reverend George Lewis. Good to have you in worship with us this morning. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Quote, "Church window art is a legacy from the Dark Ages. Before people could read, before books were commonplace, Bible stories were told orally and visually." Anyone recognizing where this is from, perhaps? No? Doesn't ring a bell? Let me read a little bit more. "The old European cathedrals had wonderful carvings and stained glass windows that both reveal many details of medieval life and also show scriptural teachings. Symbols became standardized and they became a form of Bible for the illiterate. Many depicted Old Testament stories and events in the life of Jesus. Many symbols from nature pertain to Jesus' resurrection and eternal life. Flowers often represented qualities of the Christian life. End quote. Is it ringing a bell to anyone? Marilyn Clark, a member and saint of this congregation, penned these words in her acknowledgement and foreword to the book she authored and assembled with others at the church. The title of this book is Windows to the Soul. Is that ringing a bell? Yeah. In this book, Marilyn and others tell the story of the church's stained glass. And in coming back to the church, I look forward to the opportunity to lead worship in this beautiful sanctuary designed by Alden Dow. I look forward to this, remembering the beauty of the sanctuary and the beauty of its stained glass and how its stained glass tells a story. It tells the story of our congregation and of our Christian faith. 20 of these windows in the sanctuary point to Jesus' life and ministry. For example, there's the window that depicts the Star of Bethlehem. It's located on the wall adjacent to the reflecting pool. I was thinking, do I point out where this window is? Because now this half of the sanctuary is going to be looking all sermon long for where that window is. But this window was commissioned by Alden Dow to exemplify what he had in mind in incorporating the stained glass in the church's design. Of course, the star in the window points to the star that led the wise men to the baby Jesus. Another example is there's also the window located in the open walkway from the entrance to the poolside garden to the sanctuary. This window depicts Jesus' love of all the children of the world. And it's given by the parents of Lauren Marie Burns, who was a young girl when she passed, young girl within our congregation. Like many others, I'm grateful for these stained glass windows, for they tell the story of you, the congregation. I'm thankful for them, for they tell faithfully the story of our faith, witnessing to all aspects of our faith, including the very author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ. And so it's ironic that having an opposite effect to the stained glass window in the church and you as the congregation, ironic is having an opposite effect on me in some ways is our Bible reading for today. This Bible reading from Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Because even though this comes from Matthew's account of Jesus' life and ministry, this hardly looks or sounds like the Jesus we think of. After all, at face value, what we encounter here is Jesus ignoring the pleas of a desperate mom. And so what do we do when the portrait before us of Jesus doesn't match the Jesus that we know? What do we do when Jesus says and does, when what he says and does leaves us no choice but to alter or to change what we already know? According to the disciple Matthew, upon hearing the initial pleas of the mother on her daughter's behalf, upon hearing, "Have mercy on me, Have mercy on me, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. Jesus does what? Do you remember how he responds? He ignores her. He ignores her pleas. Jesus says and does nothing in response to this mother's cry for mercy. In response to this mother's cry for the power of God's grace and the power of God's kingdom to come near. I haven't looked at all the windows in our church, but I'm going to venture to guess that we don't have a window depicting this moment in Jesus' life and ministry. It's only after the disciples are irritated. It's only after that they're irritated by the mother's persistent pleas when they encourage him to send her away that Jesus finally responds. And even then, his reply is far from what we would expect. Jesus says, I was sent only to help God's lost people, the people of Israel. The reason for Jesus' response? Well, this woman was a Gentile, meaning she's not Jewish. She doesn't belong to the people of ancient Israel, and she is not among those as counted at the time as God's chosen people. Meaning that as a savior to God's people, Jesus' mission up to this point in time does not necessarily include her. And more to this point, she also happens to be a Canaanite. In other words, her ancestors would have been among those who occupied the promised land before they were driven out. And her ancestors, with their fervent worship of idols, would have been a constant threat to the covenant, to the special relationship between God and God's people. And so for Jesus to respond the way he does is somewhat no surprise to those who knew the lay of the landscape. Even when Jesus says to this desperate mother, it's not fair to take the children's food and to throw it to the dogs. One would expect Jesus, who is Jewish, to speak of the people of God as children, and to speak of the people from Canaan as dogs. Even if this does dehumanize this mother who's simply pleading for mercy on her daughter's behalf. See, this is what the people knew of both sides. See, this conflict between God's chosen people and the Canaanites had been in place for generations upon generations. It was ingrained on both sides of this divide. So when the Canaanite woman reaches out to Jesus for help, one might think that with things the way they are in terms of Jesus' mission as the Savior of God's chosen people and the discord between Jews and Gentiles, one might think that the story ends here. After all, everything in their interaction aligns with what they knew and where things stood. But what about those times when grace requires us to reconsider what we already know? And what about those times when we are called to embrace a faith that changes everything? How are we to respond in those times? Here, the desperate mother replies to Jesus, saying, "That's true, Lord. It isn't fair to take the children's food and to throw it to the dogs." That part is true. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. Hearing this, Jesus answers, "Woman, your faith is great. Your request is granted." And in an instant, her daughter is healed. And so, taking a step back to consider all that has taken place between Jesus and his mother, perhaps what we witness is an opportunity to see what it looks like to change something that was already known. Okay? Perhaps what we're witnessing here is an opportunity to see what it looks like to change something, to broaden our minds, to broaden our hearts, to welcome in our spirit a change to something already known. By word and deed, Jesus expands the kingdom of God. Jesus opens up God's saving grace to all people. Just as it had been promised and foretold long before what had taken place, Jesus is revealing God's love for all. All of which lays a foundation for us, for you and for me to be accounted among the people of God, to be recipients of God's saving grace, laying a foundation for what our God-sized dream or our God-sized vision ought to be as the church, where all are seen as worthy of God's love. And all are seen worthy of God's work and activity in their lives. See, when Jesus encountered this mother pleading on her daughter's behalf, there were centuries of conflict between the two. And no one, including the disciples, would have faulted Jesus for his initial response. In fact, with Jesus being Jewish and the mother not, no one expected Jesus to respond differently. And I believe Jesus was fully aware of this, given the divide between Jews and Gentiles, or those from Canaan. This is how things had been. This is how things were. And this is how things were seemingly going to always be. The fact is, most would have expected things to end with Jesus saying, "I was sent for these, and not you." Or perhaps it isn't right that I would take what is meant for God's people and to give it to you. And I believe Jesus initially responded this way, not because that is what was expected of him, but instead to draw everyone's attention back then and today to what he does next. Because what Jesus does next compassionately and completely changes the landscape. Jesus reveals that God's love is available to all, that all are worthy of God's love, be it Jew or Gentile, be it slave or free, be it male or female, for in Christ we are all one. Could it be that you're in worship this morning, whether it's in the sanctuary or you're joining us on the live stream? Could it be that you are here to be reminded once again that you are included? That you are included in being part of the all of whom God loves. Am I living with an apostle-like faith? In other words, as those carrying out Jesus' light? We're all tapping along with the saxophonist, yes. But in living with this apostolic faith, in living out this light and this hope into a world of all possibility, God is calling us. God is calling us not to entrench old divides, but to recognize with a keen mind and a keen spirit where God's grace is overcoming them. And so today, are you open? Are you open to hearing what God is calling you to do? Are you open to hearing who God is calling you to love? Are you open to where God is calling you to extend grace with an open mind? Because what we are to do when God is calling us, because what are we to do when God is calling us? When God is calling us to a faith that changes everything. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and all-loving God, your ways are expansive. Your ways are beyond our comprehension. And indeed, even in the person of Jesus, your ways sometimes surprise us. And Lord, though we are on this journey, all of us, to love you more and more, and to love our neighbors, because of how our minds are wired sometimes, and perhaps even our hearts, we are keen to tune into often what threatens our understanding, what doesn't fit what we think ought to be or could be. And be it our human condition or our human bias, we often push back upon what we already know. And yet here comes Jesus, and catching our attention, he tears down walls. He bridges a divide that stood for centuries. And this morning we are led to consider how you might be calling us to do the same in our life, in our community, in the world. It's comfortable, Lord, to embrace what we already know. whether it's about ourselves or one another or people we are in relationship or people we see, and even when it is of you. And yet, like those who went on that journey so long ago, seeking you born as a baby, we are on this journey. And you are guiding us. And when we seek your guidance, we encounter your love in a way that we have not yet imagined. And so whether those divides exist within our families in the form of a broken relationship, whether they rest in a friendship that had meant so much and yet, because of an injury, is no longer. Whether those divides are found within our church. Perhaps where we had difference of thoughts. Difference of opinions, difference of beliefs. Whether they lie in our community or in our sense of the world, where our initial thought is to think that your grace and your love is not for those outside of what we know. Do a work in us, O God, that your light, that your hope might shine. Come, Holy Spirit, as we pray for ourselves, as we pray for those in the pews around us and in our community, we pray for a faith that changes everything. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who surprises us still today, and who has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stand as we conclude our service with a beautiful piece called Lord Have Mercy.
Forgive me for my unbelief. Renew the fire.
the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me.
I have built an altar.
I have built an altar where I've worshipped things of man. Journeys that have drawn me far from you. Now I am returning to your mercies overflowing. Pardon my transgressions, help me love you again.
And God's people pray,
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Overflowing without end.
So I bow my heart before you in the goodness of your presence. Your grace forever shining like a beacon in the night. Lord, have mercy.
Have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me. At this time, we will be having our final words to lead us out into the world.
And for that, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to invite you to take a seat. I'm going to invite you, if you will, to take a journey with me. It's a short journey. I promise to have us out by 11. I invite you to walk down with me. Down the poolside aisle. To the Star of Bethlehem window. It's this window that is commissioned by Alden Dow to remind us of that star that guided the wise men. And as I think about this window this morning, I think about the journey that all of us are on in life, seeking God, seeking grace, seeking God's heart. And because of the abundance of clergy, I just got to think here this morning. I'm going to venture and take some courage to even say that Reverend Rourke, our clergy assistant to the bishop, is not done growing and stretching yet. And neither are my retired colleagues, Dr. Parker, Reverend Lewis, Dr. Price, not even our current clergy staff, Pastor Brian, Pastors Lisa, Pastor Mike. They're not done growing. They're not done stretching. And then I reflected upon our sermon this morning, and I thought about our church's leaders, people who serve in leadership, people who are leading other people in ministry, people who are helping us understand what our mission and vision is as the church. I appreciate our leaders. I love our leaders. So excited to be serving alongside them. But I can't think of a single one who is done growing and done stretching. And then I think about each of our congregants as much as I try to know you and to know your stories and to know where you are in faith. And I can't think of a single one of us, whether they're in our children's Sunday school right now or whether you have been here for decades, who is done growing and stretching and seeing what God's love looks like today. So on this journey to live out a God-sized dream, a venture that we would fail on if God is not a part of it, whether it's in our own lives, in our families, in our church, or our community, let us continue to be open. Let us continue to stretch. And let us continue to follow where God is guiding us. Amen? Amen. Amen.